In East Baltimore, not far from rows of abandoned homes and empty warehouses, there's a space-age high-rise with an unusual methadone clinic.
So this is an research lab where people come here and participate in studies, and as part of those studies, they get treatment.
Dr. Kenzie Preston runs the program. It's part of the National Institutes of Health. And unlike other clinics, addicts who come here don't get thrown out if they keep using. That's because what researchers here really want to do is study them. Every week, 80 people sit by rows of magazines and wait for methadone and a drug test. But when they walk out the door, Preston says they take something very important with them, a smartphone that they can use to track when they crave drugs and when they actually use. Research associate Dave Reamer programs the phones.
So what does this say?
So it's saying, what happened? And they have two answer choices right now. I craved without using, or I used. So we'll just pick I craved without using. Then we tap next, and it goes to the next question and says which drugs were involved.
The phones are also programmed to beep randomly 3 times a day and ask a series of questions. Where are you? How are you feeling? What are you doing? Almost all the addicts in this program answer the questions regularly, and very few lose or sell their smartphones.
We tell them, you know, if you lose or break one of these, we'll replace it, and that's fine.
That's David Epstein, an associate scientist with the program.
But if you lose or break a second one, we're going to detox you from the methadone and you can't be in the study anymore. And we hardly ever have to do that. People know that, you know, they'd rather stay with us, and they do. They take care of them.
The point of it all is to understand why, at the precise moment an addict decides to use, when maybe they've been sober all morning for several days or a week. Epstein says most people are shockingly bad at answering a question like, why did you have that relapse last week?
And when you ask a question like that, people, whether it's someone who's addicted to drugs or whether it's anybody else in the world, people sort of make up stories that make sense to them, that explain their behavior, but that if you could have been monitoring them in real time, you would see that things didn't happen quite the way they remembered, and they're making up relationships that weren't really there.
It's called recall bias. Epstein says people aren't trying to lie. It's just the way our brains work. But with the smartphones, researchers get information in real time. There's one other component to this study, and this is something new. Researchers are also tracking where the addicts use, what street, what neighborhood. Addicts in the study carry little GPS loggers about the size of a pager. That means David Epstein and his colleagues can follow on a map as an addict is sober for weeks. But one day, after being in a particular house or area, the addict breaks down and uses.
When we first got the idea to start using GPS loggers, we were becoming acquainted with a whole field of psychology that we hadn't known about before called behavioral geography, which is pretty much what it sounds like. It's the study of relationships between where people are and how they behave.
Knowing where addicts are when they use or crave drugs is also giving researchers a lot of information about the kinds of places that may make them want to use.
It doesn't mean anything in particular if you say that someone was stressed or that someone used on a particular corner in Baltimore. Whereas if you have an objective, generalizable characterization of that corner, if you can say this was a place with a physical disorder score of blah, 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 and a violence score of blah, 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 suddenly it's not just about Baltimore anymore. It's about urban environments, and we can begin to say things about human behavior and human surroundings.
How do you go about scoring every neighborhood in Baltimore? That's where Deborah Furholden comes in. She heads the Drug Investigation, Violence, and Environmental Studies Lab at Johns Hopkins. Furholden and her team canvass Baltimore block by block, looking for clues about the character of each neighborhood.
Things like discarded vial caps. So oftentimes when people purchase heroin, they will flip the cap off the top between where they purchase and where they're using, and then we consider those to be the breadcrumbs.
We're standing on a windy block in East Baltimore. Furholden says this street looks reasonably stable.
So if you look around, many of these houses are inhabited. They've got positive signage in the windows. There's evidence of landscaping. It's sending a signal out to the world. We care about our block. And we could go 3 blocks over or even 1 block down, and it will look very different.
All of this has given researchers an idea. Back at the lab, David Epstein says they want to turn the smartphones into on-the-spot treatment.
Sort of a clinician in your pocket. You can give them on-the-spot feedback that's sort of tailored to what they put in, and that does seem helpful.
One day, the researchers hope the smartphones can tell an addict, look, you've been sober for 2 weeks. It looks like you're headed to this address. You know, every time you go there, you use a few hours later. Or even, this craving you're having will pass in 20 minutes. Hang in there.